Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
What's up, San Diego? We are here to keep you up to date. What is that? Oh, excuse me. Is that my phone doing that? Sorry, guys.
It's all right.
What's up, San Diego? Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Having fun as usual. Padres go down in a tough game last night. 1-0. Some controversy, I must say. What was that, the seventh? I believe it was.
Seventh inning.
Seventh inning. A play at the plate that was originally ruled safe. Somehow had enough evidence to overturn it. They took the run away, and the Padres would go on to lose 1-0 in the first game of a three-game set between the Giants. Chris Ello, what shall you say about that play?
Well, I thought about it quite a bit, Tony, and I will first say that I looked at it about 100 times last night with everybody else on the replay, and with my heart of hearts, I kept trying to get Brandon Drury's hand in there before he got tagged. And
you saw him as out.
You know, but I did. And when it was all said and done, I saw that there was one angle that showed Joey Bart getting the ball on his arm before the hand reached home plate. And I think that's what the replay official saw. As far as, you know, the concern that it was too close to overturn, I will go back to what our friend Jesse Agler says all the time about this particular situation, and that is there is no too close to overturn. You're either out or you're safe. And unfortunately, in this instance, the call would have to go against the Padres. It did go against the Padres, and it adds to the misery of the Padres and their fans right now, certainly getting shut out in back-to-back games. You'd have loved to have that tying run score. It's such a big call, Tony, because not only would the tying run have scored, but you then would have had the go-ahead run at third base with one out.
Yeah.
Jay Cronenworth came up and hit a fly ball to the warning track in left field. That would have been more than deep enough to get Ha-Seong Kim in from third base and give the Padres a 2-1 lead. So it's a hang with them, heartbreaking, you know, call that you just don't want to have go against you when you're in the midst of a slump. But maybe this is the very definition of a slump. Nothing goes your way. And like I said, I looked at it with my heart as many times as I could, and he looked safe. But when I looked at it that last time, I saw that, you know, that just the little piece of Joey Bart's glove caught the arm before he touched home plate. And, you know, I hear Jesse in the back of my mind. Jesse says it all the time. You're either out or you're safe. Is there enough evidence to overturn the call? So even though it was very close, I have to accept the outcome here.
Of course, when Jesse says that, he's referencing the fact that that is how the rule book plays it, right? It has to be enough to overturn. But I think to Chris's point, if you believe that that rule is not a good one to begin with, you shouldn't be using it now to justify your guy being safe. I thought he was safe, personally, looking at it. But I always am mindful that the angles we get to see on TV might not be all the angles that the umpires are allowed to see.
Right.
They get a kind of a mix of both Padre TV, Giant TV. We didn't see what the Giants saw or what their TV was showing, but at least from my perspective, it looked like he got his hand in there.
It was so close.
Almost simultaneously. And so, and then here's the other thing I want to address. I guess it would be Tuesday morning quarterbacking on Matt Williams, sending him home. The Padres hadn't scored any runs. You didn't know if there was going to be another opportunity there. They've had opportunities that they haven't cashed in. So you take your shot. It literally took, honestly, one of the best pickups I've seen from a catcher all year long. That was a kind of a short hop. I think we saw one in Detroit, too. I can't remember. Somebody else did this, made a terrific, like, kind of pickup tag all in the same motion. And you know how hard it is to do. Chris, you've picked a ball out of the dirt. You naturally bring your glove up. But to be able to do that, kind of stick it, and then get the tag on, it was as good of a play as you'll see at the big league level.
And I think you're kind of answering the Monday morning quarterbacking by saying that, Tony. It took a perfect relay throw from the left fielder, Gonzalez, a perfect catch and turn and relay throw by Brandon Crawford, and a perfect scoop out of the dirt and tag by Joey Bart. Anytime all of those things have to happen to retire your runner, then as Matt Williams, you made the right decision to send him.
100%. 100%. And so none of that helps the Padres.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make anybody feel any better today.
No. And it doesn't help the five games they've lost consecutively. But it is what it is. And particularly the last two games, because they pitched so well. The other ones, I can honestly move on from.
Chalk those up.
Because they didn't play their game. They didn't pitch the way they normally do. But these last two, Yu Darvish giving up the two runs in L.A., and then Blake Snell, who I thought, again, had another gutsy performance, right? Where, you know, a lot of times, especially last August, when Blake was on, there was just nobody was going to hit him. Nobody was going to touch him. He was going to just roll through whoever it was. And his last three, four starts, and you could really say six out of seven starts, he's had to kind of, like, bear down at certain points of that start and get out of jams. And he did that once again. I mean, listen, he had the bases loaded, wasn't it?
Nobody out.
And gave up one run, and that would be the only run he gave up the entire game.
Yeah.
And so I think if there is a bright side to this, all of a sudden Blake Snell has started to pitch the way a lot of people had expected him to pitch earlier.
Yeah, and now so, we got to get Musgrove squared away starting tonight.
Yeah, and this is a big start. I had a good conversation with Joe and just asking him about the adjustments, right? Because this is the most innings he's thrown at this point in the season in a very long time. And I was asking him, what are the adjustments that have to be made? And it was and this is why I love Joe a lot, and I think this is why you give a guy like him the type of money that they gave him. His answer was really informing. He said, you know, in the past, I always chalked up this type of this part of the season as, you know, everybody goes through it. But, you know, I wanted to dig a little deeper. So he's finding out, as I tell you guys all the time, when you play every day or you're pitching every fifth day like Joe is, your body, you know, starts to get a little tighter. You have to account for those things. And in the past, I think he just chalked it up to, you know, this is the time of year where you try to just grit through it. But he's actually finding different things in terms of his flexibility has changed a little bit because he's a little more beat up. And so when you actually identify those things, now you can address them in between starts. So maybe that means he doesn't throw a bullpen when he's feeling a little tighter. He works on his mobility, and he seemed pretty confident that could help him start to feel a little bit better on the mound. And I think your point is well taken, Chris. This is as we starting to see Blake pitch better, getting Joe back on track would be a huge thing for the Padres, because you know Yu Darvish at this point, he seems like he's rolling. It really does. No matter how it looks at different points of start, Yu Darvish has pretty much been the same guy other than maybe two or three starts throughout the course of the year. Well, and so you get three guys rolling like that, you're going to be in a good spot. You're going to be in the same spot you've been in the last two games, a spot where you have a chance to win a ball game. It's just going to come down to defense. And honestly, I know it's been bad, but I'm not worried about the offense. I think that'll fix itself as these dudes get more comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about crazy baseball, and Padres haven't had a 5-game losing streak all season until the game after they traded for Juan Soto and Josh Bell. I mean,
right?
Come on. I mean, how is that supposed to make any sense? And honestly, are the Padres supposed to go back in time now and say, you know what,
we're not going to take the opportunity
to get one of the best young players in the history of the game and get a slugging first baseman and getting another infielder and brand. I mean, what, should we not do that? Should we not have a manager who has, you know, great experience and is a proven winner? Should we not, get great players? Should we not make a run at a World Series? I mean, everything the Padres have done is right, and all of the results are wrong. And
that's the best way to put it.
It just doesn't make any sense right now, but you just got to stick with it. You got to hang with them. And, you know, to me, starting pitching is still a key thing for this team. It has been all year. Having Blake Snell, you know, back locked in here, get Musgrove going again. You've already got Darvish. I think Clevinger's been solid enough, except for his last outing. You're going to, like you said, Tony, you're going to be in position to win, and it's only going to take one breakthrough hit. Now,
yep.
The thing is right now for the Padres, the last two games at least, Tony, they haven't even had a chance for the breakthrough hit.
No.
Because they've only had one at-bat with the runner in scoring position in two games. They didn't have any on Sunday against the Dodgers. The only at-bat they had last night with the runner in scoring position was Cronenworth's at-bat after Drury was called out at home plate and Ha-Seong Kim was at third base. And I already detailed how that could have been a sacrifice fly
right.
had the call gone differently. But they've got to start getting some traffic right now, because you can't even blame the fact that they're not clutch hitting right now. They're not even getting a chance to clutch hit.
I'm glad you brought that up, because this is why I say all the time, it's a good problem to have a situation where you can't get runners in, because that means you're creating the opportunity. Last two games, like you said, one opportunity. So that means you're really dependent on the home run at that point. And so we know the Padres haven't hit that many. So if that's going to be the case, you got to create those opportunities so that you have an opportunity to score. You have an opportunity to get that that big hit. And so, again, I honestly am not worried about the offense. I think the offense will figure it out. They'll get going.
It's too many good guys. It's just too many good hitters right now. Too many good guys for this to continue to go this way.
You know what it's like? It's like the Braves last year. Remember, their offense was – everybody kept saying the same. Nah, man, this team is just too good. Their offense is just too good. And eventually that wore out, right? Like, their offense was too good. They ended up getting hot, and they didn't look back. And that's the thing I will continue to say. This is as irritating as it may be to our listeners, the Padre fans, that the Dodgers keep wearing us out every time we go. It does not matter. You get into the playoffs, only thing that matters at that point is the best of five or best of seven that you have to play against them. If you can find a way to beat them there, guess what? All those games mean nothing. Now, listen, that's easier said than done, and certainly – in the backdrop of 2021, getting to the playoffs is not a guarantee. So, you know, but I still am pretty confident, really confident actually, that the offense gets it going. And if they continue to pitch the way they have, because like Chris said, this team, no matter how good the offense is, and I'll keep saying this, it's still they will live and everything goes and stops with their starting pitching.
So. Well, the Padres are not the only team that has had a 5-game losing streak here recently. The Yankees just had one, and it was interesting because Aaron Boone did get his guys together a little bit and say, hey, let's talk about the trade deadline. We've had comings, we've had goings, we have some new players, we lost some players, there's been a lot of distractions. Let's just relax, go out and play baseball. Last night, Yankees snapped out of their 5-game losing streak in a big way. Aaron Judge hit his 44th of the year. They beat the Mariners 9-4 in Seattle. Doesn't guarantee that the Padres snap out of it tonight. All I'm saying is 5-game losing streaks even happen to better teams than the Padres. And the Yankees would have to qualify, at least on paper right now, as a better team than the Padres. But they've gone through it, and the Padres are going through their adjustment right now. They're playing a team in the Giants that really hasn't had any upheaval here in the last couple of weeks. So it's difficult. It's painful. I got a lot of people texting me, Tony, that I haven't heard from in a long time. Chris, please fix this. Do something. Say something. Rally the troops. I had some people last night even go as far as to say, I'm glad we threw stuff on the field. We need to fire up the troops.
Oh, my God. I heard that, too.
Yeah. I couldn't go along with that one.
That's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
I must say. I know some folks who said they were happy we were throwing stuff on the field. First of all, it's a bad look, right? Somebody can get hurt. It doesn't make our city look nice. We're throwing stuff on the field at – I don't know if we're throwing it at people, but that's nothing cool about throwing stuff on the field.
Some radio producer in a different part of the country is asking a Big Five question as we speak. What does this say about San Diego fans that they threw trash on the field? And I'm not kidding, because that's what I would do. That's what we did do when the Yankees fans threw trash on the field.
We sure did.
Yeah, it
we
wasn't
sure
a great look did. Last night, people.
That was bad. That was that was not the best of San Diego.
Can we also squeeze in real quick that catch by Juan Soto in right field when he face-planted into the wall – made everybody hold their breath because he looked dazed.
Juan, meet the Petco sign. Petco sign, meet Juan.
That was like the most.
I'm actually surprised there's not like a taped body on the fence, at least as of right now. I mean, we've still got plenty of time.
Tape an outline of his body.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen such a flush hit.
You know, Tony, that's a really good idea. The team needs a little loose up deal. I think you ought to go down there and do that tape thing. You and Jesse go do that
before
the guys are in
the
locker room.
I don't know if I want to.
Have Jesse do it. Or have Marcus do it.
Yeah, have Dave do it.
Send Marcus down there.
I'll see if Marcus is up for it. He seems like the very scary type to do something like that.
Yeah, I can't imagine him pulling that off.
Real quick, the show is brought to you by the San Diego County Sheriff's Department. Now hiring. Make a difference in your community and see all the open opportunities at joinsdsheriff.net. All right, let's get to break. By the way, I don't know how I didn't mention this. We got Kevin O'Connell coming on the show. Vikings head coach, former Aztec, will join us here at the top. Excuse me.
Yes, 3 o'clock.
Bottom of the hour.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's going to be fun today.
Should be a lot of fun. All right, more Gwen and Chris on the way. You can hear Chris and I continue to rant about baseball and just how weird of a game it is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.